Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning from UAS are a couple of gentlemen very interested in career and technical education. Greg Reynolds is a construction teacher and outreach coordinator at UAS. Hi, Greg.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Jim Seeland is a fisheries technology instructor. And I guess, Jim, technically you're based out of the Ketchikan campus, but no way you're actually going to go down to Ketchikan.
Roger that.
Yeah. Yep. So
they wanted me, that was going to have to be a place for me here in Sitka.
I had wondered where you had gone after your Medvigi days.
I throw things at you all the time when you're riding by on your bike. In case maybe you're not looking back.
I guess not. I'm quick on the draw too. So, anyway, you guys, there is a an open house coming up in a couple of weeks that people might want to pay attention to if they or their kids are interested in careers and technical education. But Greg, I thought first. How do they know if they're interested? We should describe what we're talking about here.
Yeah, the open house is a part of a national career and tech ed month. Not exactly a household word yet, but we're making inroads.
Yeah, career and tech ed. What are we talking about?
Well, career and tech ed, the evolution of the term, it started out with just tech ed or voc ed or, you know, traditional shop classes, auto shop, wood shop. And that has kind of grown with the changing world of technology to include probably most career areas, because the academic parts are overlapping so much now between the traditional academic careers with construction careers, where you need to have a lot higher skill set, you know, to be able to function. So career in tech ed now includes nursing, just lots of different areas.
Welding.
Yeah, welding,
marine services.
We're going to showcase at this open house the programs that are accessible here. So we'll have stations set up with instructors to talk about construction careers, welding careers, marine services, mainly repair type jobs. Gary Denherter is teaching classes now at the university along with his outward business. Health science, which could include careers in biology and nursing and health information management, and then fisheries.
Yeah, it's interesting how this has evolved. You know, where we've come a long way from just wood shop and metal shop or auto shop or whatever. You know, in this country, we talk a lot about how we've outsourced a lot of manufacturing jobs and things overseas, but there are just a lot of jobs that require kind of a skills base. I mean, not everybody's going to be sitting at a computer, you know, typing up memos. We actually do need people to kind of put together the ships and plumb them, and we do need people to, you know, run the work of the hatcheries and to work in, you know, the healthcare facilities.
Yeah, the futurists, educational futurists, are predicting that the millennial generation is going to be looking at 5 to 6 years for their careers. So educators are looking at, you know, a broader based educational system that allows them to be adaptable in the things they choose. So I think the broader the base of students in high school, junior high and high school and community college, the broader base their skill set, the more prepared they are going to be for the future.
So the 5 to 6 years you're talking about are what, 5 to 6 years of education?
No, 5 or 6 years in a career.
In a career before
things change economically and you need to find something else to do. So
right. Huh. Okay. Well, that's interesting. It's we're no longer can expect sort of the lifelong career or...
Well, those will probably still exist. They'll probably still be, you know, educators and nurses that hopefully will be, you know, lifelong careers. But for the most part,
but the skill sets will probably evolve past the 5 or 6 year point, and people are going to have to just be, I guess, adaptable.
Well, yeah, the technology is changing so fast that, you know, you have to get more and more on the job training. Continuing education is going to be important too, but. This right now is, this initiative is just to address bringing career and tech ed to high school students and the public. The public's welcome to the open house. We do have it set up so that the first half of the open house will be designed for high school age students. And then there will be a barbecue right in the middle there. And then the public is welcome. Adults can come and go through and see our programs, too, after lunch.
All right. This is going to be Saturday, 2 weeks from tomorrow, the February, what did we say, 25th?
25th,
okay. Yeah. At the high school, 10 to 11:30 a.m. for students, and then 12 to 2 for the public. Bob Love is going to fire up the big barbecue.
Yeah, there. It will be for high school. It's going to be at the university.
Oh, okay. It's going to be at the university, yeah, for high school students from 10 to 11:30, and then for the public from 12 to 2. And it's basically going to be folks like you and Jim discussing the career and technical education programs that are in your respective fields.
Well, I know how Jim teaches, and I know it won't be just him talking.
Okay.
There won't be a lot of talk. We'll be doing stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, people standing around.
People going to have to slime fish.
I'm thinking, yeah, Greg's going to have a few things.
Okay.
I can only imagine what the health people will do.
Well, I know Al Puckett will have, you know, welding gear on students. Let them try. They won't be doing welding, but they can try on the gear and look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hands-on. That's what we want. Hands-on.
It should be fun.
All right. Yeah, so we're talking construction, welding, marine services, health science, and fisheries. You know, Jim, before you walked in the station this morning, if somebody had asked me, well, what do you need to do to work at a hatchery, mm-hmm, around here, or to work, you know, to work somehow in fisheries technology, I would say, well, I'd go to college and become a biologist. But that's one avenue, but it's not the only avenue.
It isn't. You know, a lot of it can be hands-on now, and I've been in the business. I came to Alaska in 1980, actually, and actually worked with Greg back in 1981 up in Prince William Sound at one of the first enhancement facilities. And so the fish technology program is basically, I guess the key is we work with industry and how industry is involved. And in Alaska, salmon enhancement, it's not the be-all and end-all, but it certainly has become a major tool and a major economic driver, especially in southeast Alaska. It's huge, and the facility is getting bigger and more technical, and it just isn't the same. You don't start out mowing lawns, and then you get to use the rake. Mm-hmm. You kind of get plunged right into it.
So. How has the skill set changed in fisheries technology just in the last 10, 15 years?
Fisheries technology is bigger than just salmon hatcheries, of course, so, mm-hmm, it's also management. We look at the management sides of things, too. So, for instance, I will tell my students that I have right now, and most people know this, that Alaska has a reputation of probably having the best managed fisheries in the world. It's very sustainable, and it's not without a tremendous amount of hard work and education and training. So, you know, our Department of Fish and Game is, a very well-trained, very professional workforce. And the tools that they use are changing all the time. So we can help get students started with that in fisheries technology. They could go on and get a bachelor's, master's, PhD, depending on what jobs they want. But really, something like a one-year degree or an associate's degree is almost critical for starting out. And a lot of that is just the equipment that we use for Alaska's hatcheries now are literally releasing tens to hundreds of millions of fish, and not without a tremendous amount of knowledge and specialized equipment. There's a lot of specialized equipment now.
How do you find out what the industry wants? I mean, how do they let you know? Do you get a memo saying, Jim, you know, this
No,
year?
You have to go get it. The industry's kind of busy, you know, and so am I.
Uh-huh.
But in last year, it's a great question, because I believe all the schools in career and technical education, we all have advisory committees. So that's in your advisory committee, you bring in industry or whoever is going to be using the product in the sense of a trained individual going out in the workforce. And you need feedback from them. Yes, we're getting what we need. No, we're not. We would like you to have a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. So the advisory committees are big. But last year in our program, and I think other programs do this, we actually surveyed the Alaska salmon enhancement industry, and I asked some very direct questions and took those to heart. And actually this year we're implementing some of the changes. For instance, a lot of the sites in Alaska, as far as salmon hatcheries go, are remote, and they don't have good internet service. Not everybody has internet service. You might have a computer, but they have limited bandwidth. And so for those kinds of people, they would rather have a 2 or 3 day intensive thing. Can't be in February and March because that's when they're releasing a lot of fish. Can't be in the fall when the fish return. So anyway, we try and meet those needs, but you get it by listening.
Yeah, in your brochure, that's amazingly quick turnaround from the survey to actually courses. You've got field methods and fisheries technology, fin fish culture, fisheries of Southeast Alaska, fisheries management, law and economics, mm-hmm. fundamentals of fisheries biology, habitat assessment, limnology, which I guess is the study of freshwater lakes.
Freshwater systems, yeah.
Yeah, and oceanography. Yeah, it's... we have come a long way.
We have
in this kind of thing. Greg, what is a typical student in career and technical education like in your program in construction?
What are they like?
Yeah, what are they like?
Well, the profile. I think the youngest I've had is 15 years old. We have men and women, young men and young women sometimes, but all the way up to students that are taking the course with their senior free tuition. Mm-hmm. So some people don't want to do it as a career. They just want to learn how to build, and that's great. The profile is anybody. We have a real strong interest in construction by the women in this town. We had some women in construction workshops that were wildly successful. We haven't been able to do them this year or last year because of construction projects in the hangar, but mm-hmm. we hope to pick those up again when everything settles down.
Yeah, and Jim, your typical student is there a typical
student? No, it's very atypical, as a matter of fact, is a good way to describe it. Our lectures are typically delivered online live, and so I have students all over the state, quite honestly. And, they're typically not 18. They're you kind of make a good point, because programs like this, and really in the School of Career and Technical Education, are designed to be fairly fluid and to meet the needs of the student as well as the industry. So, online education, it's not the be-all and end-all. We'd all rather be teaching in a classroom live, and so we can see people and interact, but we can reach so many more people and at much less expense. But I get older, not old, but older people who are looking for a career change. Mm-hmm. I get actually a fair number of commercial fishermen are just, their hands are worn out, their shoulders are destroyed, and they would like to give back to the industry, or they're involved in being part of that. So that's kind of a good one.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I also get people who are professionals in their career and just want to know a little bit more. They just want a class or two, kind of like what Greg was saying.
So all right.
Quite diverse.
So, Greg, sometime between now and the next, and the open house on the 25th, you've arranged to have a couple of people from other areas of construction and technical or career and technical education come in and talk about their programs too.
Yeah, Leslie Gordon will be coming in on the 23rd to talk with you, and I'd like to get Al Puckett. Al, if you're listening, you've got an appointment that day.
Okay, can't say no now. You've been called out. So anyway, we'll and Al is involved in.
He's the welding.
The welding guy.
He's
okay.
Par excellent.
All right. So we will have covered pretty much the gamut here on what's available in career and technical education at UAS. Thanks a lot for coming in this morning and talking about it. And we'll get this thing on the calendar and try and help you generate interest in having people go out there. It sounds like a new and kind of fascinating direction for the UAS campus.
It is. And I want to apologize again for Greg coming in and being tracked to the lights and messing with all. And then that, I think we can fix that turntable.
That's all right. We've got insurance. No problem.
I mean, he should not have been riding on that.
I'm sure Gary Danher can fix it.
Yeah, he can fix it.
That's true. We'll get some skilled people
right.
over
and if
here.
If it needs welding,
we can do that.
We can do that too.
Jim Seeland is a fisheries technology instructor with UAS. Greg Reynolds is a construction teacher and the outreach coordinator. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks, Rob.